Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us in the service today. Help us to accomplish your will, to speak your words, that it could touch the hearts of those that are listening, that we that are saved could truly be revived, strengthened, and encouraged, and have the strength to go on and live as lights in this world, to accomplish your will. And Father, for those that are lost, help them to see how much you love them, how you sent Christ to die for their sins, and if they would turn by faith and believe upon your Son, you would save them for Christ's sake. Help us, Father, in all these things, for we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. We get to Romans chapter 16, and we're about to get, in my opinion, some of, and I'm going to say to me, I know all the Word of God is precious and all of it's needful, but of course we've all got our favorite little passages of Scripture. And you know, Romans chapter 16, you talk about a missionary and the work that he does, as we dealt with some of that last week in chapter 15 with the Apostle Paul. And you get here in chapter 16 and we realize, you know, Paul didn't accomplish these things by himself. Certainly, Paul knew that he needed the Lord, and he counted all his knowledge and all his ability and everything as dung. You know, it was nothing compared to the knowledge that he got from Christ and from the Word of God. And so we see how he grows and matures, and we know how he's used of God, and God helps him and leads him and guides him to have these great successes in the mission work and spreading the gospel in other regions. And yet we get to chapter 16, we see there's so many people that also played a role in his life, that these are people that were blessings. And you're going to find out here in chapter 16 that many of these were women. There were a lot of women that worked in the church and did work in the church, that he even commends to the church at Rome to say, listen, that this woman over here, she's doing a good work. Now, we know by the Bible that there are certain positions in the church, deacons and ministers being the two main things we can think about, that God has clearly stated. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you go to some places in 1 Corinthians and you know, Titus chapter 1 and things of this nature, that lets us know that, you know, there are certain positions, like I said, deacons and ministers, that God didn't commission for women to hold those offices. It's not because they're incapable. It's not because that men are better than the women. It's because of the order, the way that God set things up. A lot of times we forget even why God created the woman and what her role is and what God has provided her here for. And God goes through that even in the New Testament and describing a lot of that. I'm not going to try to delve into all that today. But yet at the same time, you look through the Scripture, and I've said this many times, that some of the most lifted up women in our people, not just women in the Bible, but people, is women. You look at Proverbs 31 and find me another person in the Bible that is praised as much as that virtuous woman, and the role that she has and the place that she fulfills and the work that she does. And God says, I'm going to bless that. I'm going to praise her. Her works are going to praise her. And you even come here in Romans chapter 16, and I know there's also men listed here, but we find a lot of women that did a lot of good in the work of God and are valuable. And I can say this as a pastor and as a man that has worked at different churches over the years, that the women do an invaluable work. Sometimes things that are even, you know, kind of behind the scenes things. You know, the little things that a lot of times people don't really notice or pay attention to. And you think about, man, if it wasn't for these godly women, you know, what would we have? And even when it comes to communion service, the Lord's Supper and feet washing, you usually have more women there than you do men. And sometimes that's because men might be working a shutdown, or they might be working offshore or some with the military and different things. Maybe that has a part to do with it, but it's just been common that you find more women that are dedicated to that service and just purpose to be there. And the Bible, in so many times, just lifts up women. And wherever Christianity has gone, the treatment of women, the quality of life for women, has just gone up tremendously, because from the beginning of the Word of God, God told us that, listen, as Adam said, listen, I'm going to call her woman because she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That she's going to walk with me. And you know, in other cultures, and you go back and study historically, that there are people that treated women as nothing more than satisfying objects. That's all they treated them as. And treated them, you know, as slaves. I mean, you can go to some of the Asian cultures and study history, and it's not just there. Of course, even some of the Mideastern cultures to this day. And yet, if you study history, the treatment of women, wherever Christianity has gone, it's automatically gone up, and the respect for them, and even what we used to call chivalry and things of this nature, and how men would lay down their lives for their wives and for their children and things of this nature, that's biblical teachings. And it came from that. And in our day and time, you know, we're getting to the place that we see a lot of women belittled, and it's because of the decline of Christianity. We see a lot of women being just used in a lot of different ways. And you'll notice it's just risen as we've seen Christianity decline. And there's a lot more that I could go into that, but I want to get into the scriptures because this is very important. But in verse 1 of Romans chapter 16, he said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Notice the way that he describes her. She is a servant of the church. She's one that serves. What did Christ even tell his, the 12? He said, the greatest among you is going to be he that serves. Not that thinks of himself, not that tries to lift himself up, but that serves. And here he gives her this praise and says, listen, she's a servant of the church. She takes care of the church. She's doing a work. And he says, which is at Century. And he says that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a securer of many and of myself also. And the secure part here, no doubt that she was great in the Word of God. And you say, wait a minute, women are not able to take the Word of God and maybe expound upon it in a mixed congregation in church as you would have as a minister or even a deacon or things of this nature. Yeah, you can say that. But there are people, listen, and I can say this on my own behalf. Listen, I have pastored a number of godly women that helped me grow in the Lord. That helped me mature in the Lord. And some of them, when I first started preaching, I was 21 years old. I was almost 22 at that time. And then I was 23 just after my 23rd birthday when I started to pastor. And I can tell you, man, some of those ladies treat you like one of their children, and some of them treat you like one of their grandchildren. And the knowledge that some of these older women in the church had, and listen, I could go through a list of names that were just a blessing to me and encouragement to me. And I've even said it on this radio program before, if not for my grandmother, I certainly don't believe I would have been a minister in the gospel of Christ. There's certainly doubts of whether I would have even trusted Christ without her in the family and what she meant. And I know there are others that played a significant role in my life. But she's just one that, you know, had Bible studies at her home. When we came to her house, you knew you were going to church. You knew that at nighttime, if you were spending the night, we were going to read the Bible some. And you saw the faith not only at the church house, but you saw it every day of her life. And that kind of person makes an impact. And a lot of time, women like that make a huge impact in their families. A huge impact, and are able to lead many to Christ because of the life that they live and the work that they've done. But this lady not only did it for her family, listen, she was a secure to people in the Lord. And I've heard many people over the years talk about some godly women and, you know, some godly families that would open up their house and allow you to stay there when you were traveling, or you know, were just such good Bible students that you'd get around them and it would make you think more of the Word of God. It'd make you delve into more of the Word of God. And no doubt in this day and time with the persecution of the Christians, no doubt she might have even been doing some work where she protected some people from persecution or gave them a refuge in time of need. But he said, listen, not only has she secured many, he said, myself also. See, we forget sometimes that the Apostle Paul was chased down. We forget sometimes that he was kind of on the Jews' most wanted list for a time. And the false accusations brought against him. And yet there were people that would hide him. There were people that would, you know, help him move from one place to another. And help him go from one location to another carrying the gospel. Some that supplied money, some that supplied supplies, some that gave these people a place to sleep when they needed it. And this dear sister in the Lord, he said, listen, she's been a securer of many, and of myself also. He goes on in verse 3 and says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Notice the word here, and we know throughout the scriptures, if you study the book of Acts, you know these people. You know the impact that they had with men like Apollos, helping him to grow in the Lord. And again, it's a husband and a wife here. And he says, they're my helpers in Christ. Now, let me tell you this. And I'm going to talk about it from a preacher's standpoint, because that's the experience I know. Listen, there are people that help you in the Lord. Listen, I've got people every month that pray for me. I mean, that keep me lifted up in prayer. And not because, as we mentioned last week, it's not about us, but it's about the work that we're doing. The reason they're praying for us is because they know the work that we're doing. And I greatly appreciate them. I've said it many times, even through this radio broadcast. Listen, there are many times I can feel the prayers of God's people. It just makes a huge difference. I remember one time years ago, just a few years back, I was preaching a revival. And you know, sometimes you're struggling to get the messages and you're struggling to, you know, get settled on what to preach. Because, you know, in this Bible, there's thousands of messages, but yet, there's one needed for each day and each night. And God has one message. And when you go to preach a revival, you don't want to preach your message. You want to preach God's message. Sure, I can pick out any subject in the Bible, but I want God to direct my heart and God to lead me, because God knows what the people stand in need of. And I ask people a lot of times, I say, pray for me that I'll know the direction to go. That I'll know, listen, even where I pastor, I ask them to pray for me on that. And when I'm going to preach a revival somewhere, maybe the week before, I ask the people that I pastor, I say, no, I'm not going to be able to be with you maybe this coming midweek service because we're going to be going in a revival, but please pray for me while I'm away that I can be directed and used of God. And I can tell you there are people that are helpers. But I was getting back to the point. I went to a service one time, and I don't know if it was some from a home church that were praying for me, a combination of multiple people. Of course, we had announced the revival on the radio program, so I certainly didn't know who, through the radio broadcast, who listened to us were praying and different things. But I'm talking about, I told my wife, I said, I pretty well know everything. I'm settled on everything for the week. I said, I've never had this experience in my life before. And certainly we have to pray for ourselves too and pray for God's direction. That's always a part of it. And God's always blessed. But there are sometimes you just go to a place and you're like, wow, what's going on? And I even shared that with that church that week that I told them, I said, listen, I just thank you for the prayers. I said, I don't know who all's doing it and what all's going on, but I said, listen, I said, God is just directing us. And I said, I just know exactly what He wants. It's just like ahead of time, and I was just so settled. There's sometimes as a preacher, you're just flipping back through scriptures and you're like, God, help us, God, lead us. And all the studying and all the things that you're trying to do, and you just can't get settled. Do I need to preach this one, or do I need to preach this scripture? God, and it, sometimes it seems like it comes down to the last minute. And I know sometimes God's using that in different ways. It doesn't mean there's a lack of praying going on. But man, I can tell you there's just sometimes you just feel like, man, I got God's people with me. It's not just through prayer either. You know, there's people, there's certainly churches that support, as we've mentioned, this radio work and even what we do through the internet. And you know, I write Sunday school lessons, and there's people that assist with that. And some of it might seem small to a lot of people. Sometimes, you know, I had a person come up to me one time, and he handed me a $20 bill, and this was at a church one time. And the man said, listen, I know the work you're doing. He said, we don't have a lot. And he said, and I wish it was more. He said, but I pray this helps you along. And you know, that touched me as much as any offering I'd ever received in my life, because you saw the heart of the individual giving it. And I knew right then, I said, God's blessing that person. Not because of the amount, and not even because of the offering he gave. He could have done something in private. But it was the heart that I saw in the person that just touched me profoundly at that moment. And I was seeing a hard-working man, a person devoted to his family, taking out of his pocket to support the gospel. And again, I say this all the time, and I say this when people are supporting their pastors, and you'll hear me encourage you to support your pastor. You'll hear me to tell you to support your local church that you're a member of and being a part of. And I pray even when I mention these things that nobody thinks that I'm asking for anything, because that's not what we've stated. And I've stated several times, we got churches, I believe in the church supporting. If any individual ever feels led to give something, that's their business between them and the Lord. But we're not asking anything, because the churches are taking care of this radio program, and we appreciate that. And we have had some that say, well, I feel burdened to give. And if you feel burdened, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm talking about an individual experience. And he apologized to me. He said, I'm sorry that it's so little. And I said, brother, do you know what you've just handed me? And he said, what do you mean? I said, the way I look at this is, I said, I do a lot of traveling on the road. And I said, you just purchased a meal for me and my family? I said, if you want to put it in the gas, if it goes into the gas tank, I said, you've allowed us to travel a couple hundred miles. Don't think that it's little. It's much. And I think so many times, and I've had these conversations with my wife, and you know, sometimes even with the people that I pastor, and trying to show our appreciation of what they do for us in helping us spread the gospel. And I try to relay it to the churches that help in this radio program privately, in letters that we write to them. And sometimes we get to be with them face to face and get to share our expression face to face. But I know that they're helpers of mine in the Lord. And listen, there's some people that do little things that they don't even know the value of it. I had a person come over to me one time, and we had just visited a church on a Wednesday night. And he said, listen, preacher, he said, have you had supper? He said, God just wanted me to know. And I said, listen, I was about to stop at Subway on the way back home. I said, that was my plan. I said, I was going to get by. He said, listen. He said, if you don't mind, would you join us for supper? And somebody might think that's a small thing. Well, they had plenty of food. They just allowed you to partake of it. Listen, the fellowship that I got to have with that man and his family to see what they were going through, because they had conversations about their life and their Christian walk and different things. And listen, there's a lot of times that people don't know how much of a help and a blessing that is, because people welcome you in like they're your family. And that's what the church is supposed to be about. That's why we say brother and sister in Christ. But he said, listen, this is my helpers. And I know that this went beyond that, because you read the next verse, look. He said, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said, they've laid down their necks for me. We talk about sticking our neck out for somebody. And I've had people do that in my life, and so appreciative. And again, we all face these things in life where we face obstacles and different things. You know, there was a time in my life where I had a minister that I don't know if he got jealous of me. I don't know if he got angry at me. I don't know what happened. But anyway, he started spreading some lies about me. Some horrible lies. And I didn't know it at the beginning. I knew that I wasn't getting to preach as much. I knew support had gone down. And I mean, he was spreading this through many churches. And I didn't understand it. And in fact, this has happened on two different occasions. And it's just Satan working. That's all it is. But you know how I found out about it? I had a friend of mine in church, and I'll just use a couple of occasions here. And one of it had to do with an issue of immodesty, and I had to deal with that. Not going to go through the whole step of it, but a minister called me up and he said, listen, I need to talk to you about something. This issue has come up, and this is something. And listen, I was able to solve the issue very, very simply with a good evidence on my side. But then that minister went above and beyond just asking me the question. Everybody that had heard and said something that wasn't true, he went back and corrected it all. And he gave the evidence and said, this isn't true. Now, I didn't ask him to do that. He did, and all of a sudden, opportunities kept on popping up. I had another time that people talked about how I love people, and somebody tried to accuse me of being selfish and going in a self-righteous direction. You have all kinds of things that come up. And I had a friend of mine that called me up and he said, man, I've known you for years. And he said, none of this sounds like you. And he started questioning me on it. He said, I got a question. And I said, I don't mind it, man. I said, go ahead, ask on. And after going through about 30 minutes of a conversation, he said, I knew none of this was true. He said, God was just letting me know. And again, I didn't ask him to do nothing, but he took time out of his time, and he went around to everybody he had heard repeat that rumor and those things, and he said, I can tell you who this man is. I knew him. And you know what he was doing? He was sticking his neck out for me. Never forgotten it. There was one time I preached a message, and it ruffled a lot of feathers. And listen, I didn't preach it in any ill malice or anything towards anybody, just preaching the Word of God. But yet it was something that evidently hit pretty close to home to some, and some got offended by it. And there were people just ready to, you know, get rid of me and throw me down the road and different things, figuratively speaking, not physically throw me down the road. But, And I'll never forget, there was a man in the church, and he didn't know that I overheard the conversation. I was outside talking to some people, and all of a sudden you hear people arguing inside the church, having a disagreement, And I try to let people have their discussions, but you know, when you hear your own name called, it kind of perks your attention. And all of a sudden that man said, "Take the Bible." And he said, "Show me where he did anything wrong." And while there were others standing around ready to accuse me, he said, "Take the Bible," and he said, "Show me what that man preached that was wrong." And all of a sudden, the argument ceased. He said, "If he did something wrong biblically," he said, "I'd stand with you, men." He said, "But he preached the truth," and he said, "You're rejecting it." And the way I see that, they're defending God, not me. But as an individual, as a person, you understand that. But with the Apostle Paul, when he says they lay down their own necks, talking about for him, for my life, lay down their own necks. Listen, this was a time when Christians were being truly persecuted. This was a time when death was a possibility for a Christian. I know in parts of the world today, there's still Christians facing that kind of persecution. And what it means for people to say, "We'll risk our lives to save years. We'll lay down our own necks so that you might live." What kind of people do you... I don't even know how to word that, but how would you feel about somebody that did that for you? And listen, this wasn't all that they did. He said, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ." Listen, these people even held church in their house. They opened themselves up. They sacrificed so much for the gospel. And Paul is basically saying there, here, "If not for people like this, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't be preaching. I would be dead. Or I would be limited in the things that I'm able to accomplish." And I look back, I've been preaching now for coming this summer, will make 17 years. It's been 16 and a half years that I've been preaching so far. Little above that. And in that time, I see so many people, and I've just named a couple, and yet I've got a list. And I go back through that list and thank God for those people. That list is right here in my mind and in my heart. And I'm thinking, "God, without these people in my life, what would I have been?" Some of them's family, some of them are church family. And some of them are not just family, they're above that, friends. And sometimes people sit back and say, "Well, I'm not much in the church. Well, I don't have this position, or I don't have that," and all these other things. Let me say, you don't know your value until you allow God to use you. You don't know how valuable you are to somebody's life and even the little things that you do. Remember what the Lord said about if you give a cup of water in my name, for my people, how that you would no wise lose your reward. Let me tell you, these things are valuable. The church members are valuable. The people who do this type of work is so valuable to the church. And I pray as we study on next week also that we can see just how valuable these people are, and that you see how valuable you can be in the Lord's work if you'd allow God to use you. And I pray that you see that. I pray that we can get it across. If you'd have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. We pray this could be a blessing. To Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, for the good that's accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.